Hello, let's start the new year with a freebie. Here's the novella, The Lion's Den, in London after the Great War, by M.A. Lee, which means it's a mystery. Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee, with the assistance of Edie Rooms and Remy Black, all from Writers, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. A summary of this and other episodes can be found on therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at linkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. We have The Lion's Den by M.A. Lee. Here's the teaser. Jack Portman had never forgotten Billy Mulvey's. Then she walked into his local pub and into the clutches of a lone shark. Can he rescue her before she falls victim to evil? That's a good teaser. It immediately introduces the connection between the two characters. It also presents the danger for one of the characters and the motivation or purpose of the other character, all with a question. Ready? Here we go with the first scene in The Lion's Den. Hell and damnation. Jack Portman lifted the pint of stout to hide his face and watched Philly Mulvey's look around the pub. That had to be her fourth look, just as blind as the previous ones. Not all of them would be blind. He hadn't forgotten her, not a single jot. She changed, though. Up with the times, in one of those head-covering hats, her hair bobbed. The loss of her long brown hair hit him like a punch. She wore a shapeless serge gray jacket over a dress. The skirt revealed her calves. That skirt almost made up for her cropped hair. Jack had spotted Philly as soon as she entered the pub. She had threaded her way through the early Wednesday evening crowd of clerks and office jobsmen and a light sprinkling of women. A small table in the center caught her eye, and she slid onto the rattan-backed chair. No sooner had she planted herself than a man placed his hand on the other chair. Jack wanted to hit him. Brown eyes wide, Philly gave a decided shake of her head. The man dragged out the chair anyway. Her gloved hand shot out in a warning gesture. Whatever she said wiped the grin off the man's face. He rejoined his mates at a larger side table and mouthed a word. That word looked like married, which Jack knew was an effing lie. He might not have seen Philly Bedand Mulvey's for 3 years, but he'd listened for information about her. He'd known when she moved to London and took rooms from the widowed Cecilia Arkwright before she became the married Cecilia Tarrant. He knew Philly had found work at a dress shop. Jack watched her give an order to the barmaid. Her upturned face caught the lamp's glare. When the maid departed, she looked around the pub. Something troubled her. Whatever had brought her to his local, the Gold Eagle Pub, was far from her flat and her work. There were up to 5 looks, still blind. Occasionally, Philly ran with the other bright young things, the racy ones who jumped in fountains with her cousin Tori, or the bohemian ones who talked around paintings and sculpture with her cousin Greta. Tori and Greta ordered around anyone in their circles. Philly didn't take their orders, which put her in the outer sphere for all the blood connection. He liked her from the start, that Christmas at Amberley, the Mulvey's estate, although her father was second son and had inherited only a modicum of wealth. Still, a modicum was more than Jack had. Philly hadn't panicked when Tony Gresham turned up murdered. She hadn't tried to interfere with the investigation. Plucky thing had stood up to her cousin's interferences. Jack had thought Philly too young. His years in the sodding trenches aged him. Mental years, rather than physical years. He had a need to earn his pay rather than live off the Mulvey's family. Philly Bedand Mulvey's wasn't effing married, though. The barmaid returned with 2 pints, one for Philly, one for whomever she'd come to meet. Married. Shite. How had he missed that news? Philly sipped the beer and grimaced. Jack should leave. He had an early day tomorrow. His job required a clear head, clear thinking, and quick reactions. He stayed to see who came to her table. He didn't see Philly seeking out a pub on her own. She fit a tea room. She unsnapped her purse and withdrew a lace handkerchief. She dabbed her pink in the mouth to remove the beer foam. Jack drank his stout while she rummaged in her purse. She drew out a man's pocket watch and opened it to check the time. Then the watch and the hanky returned to the purse, and she snapped it shut. She expectantly watched the door where thugs monitored who entered the Gold Eagle. A man bumped past Jack. The man didn't bother to apologize, just headed around the bar. Jack took one look at the mustache profile, the smashed nose, and round spectacles under bushy eyebrows. Oh, hell no. Boggs. Thaddeus Boggs, the arsehole. Philly wasn't in debt to him, was she? Boggs came from the back, employees only. That made Jack rethink his choice of local. The arsehole wrapped his thick fingers around whoever he could, then squeezed and squeezed until they choked up whatever he wanted. And he plonked down in the chair across from Philly Bedan Malday's. Hell and damnation. She didn't smile. Jack would have cursed aloud if she had. She could have ruined all his dreams with one sweet curve of her pinked lips. But she didn't smile at Boggs. She frowned. Boggs grinned. His tongue touched his upper lip as he listened. Then he shook his head. Whatever he replied widened Philly's brown eyes. Then Boggs wrapped his fat fingers around the pint and stood. His other hand swept out, an obvious gesture for her to precede him. She hesitated. Boggs said something short. Philly's dislike couldn't be mistaken. But she stood and looked over at the bar's corner, right at Jack. His nearly empty pint of stout still hid his face, yet she wasn't looking at him. She spied the swinging door behind him and started for it. Boggs followed, enjoying the view he had of Philly's legs in low heels. She paused within inches of Jack. Boggs came right behind her, and Jack intended to find out what shady business Philly had with a moneylender like Thaddeus Boggs. He waited until the barkeep shifted down the bar to pour a cluster of pints. Then Jack slipped back the half yard needed to step against, then through, the swinging door. The shadowed hall lacked the yellow glaring light of the pub. Lights streamed around the door directly opposite, a kitchen by the sounds leaking through. At the hall's end was a heavy door with two locks, the side door. On the way down to it were two more doors. Pub side would be the Coe's, no longer in use. Opposite it, a little further along, was another door. Jack tried the knob to the Coe's. It turned easily. The door swung into darkness, street lights shining through the windows, the bottom halves blocked by curtains, so the people in booths had privacy. He left the Coe's door ajar and soft-footed to the opposite door. Pale light streamed under the door. He heard Philly before he reached it. "Gone up? Why has the price gone up?"
"I said it does. Fair market price."
Fair? Hell and damnation. Why had Philly gone to a moneylender?
"Bidding war," Boggs said.
"You had a deal."
"Like I said then, one-time offer, gone now. Price went up and up again."
"What do you mean? What do you mean by bidding war?"
"Someone else wants it. They've offered more."
"How much more?"
"I want 400 from you."
"Four? I don't have that much. I brought the agreed price. I don't think we can get more."
"We can make that the down payment. Sweeten the deal."
Jack didn't like that oily insinuation. "Sweeten it how?"
"You, now."
Jack reached for the door.
"Or her, tomorrow night, all the night. Matter of fact, I like that idea more."
"She won't agree to that." Philly's voice shook, fear or rage. "And what guarantee do we have that you will not raise the price again?"
"That's a chance you take. Like I said, he offers more, the price will go up and up."
"You are a monster." Philly Jack thought. Boggs holds all the best cards. Don't make him take everything. He wondered who the other bloke was, offering more money to start a bidding war.
Boggs laughed. "She tell you to say that? Let's see what she says after tomorrow night."
"How much is he offering?"
"I told you."
"No, you said our price had gone up to £400. How much is he offering?"
£350.
"Do you have his guarantee that he'll pay £350?
"What do you care? You can't pay that."
"I can pay £325. I have that much. £25 more than what you agreed to. All of it, right now. A sure thing."
"He offered 50 more."
"You don't know he'll pay £350. You don't know he'll pay anything."
"He wants it. Maybe more than she does. He'll come up with it."
"But you have no guarantee. £325 now, and everything in my hand, and we're done. A certain thing, Mr. Boggs, versus a chancy thing later." Silence descended. "Take it," Jack prodded. "Take it." Philly broke the silence with, "See, £325. All of it. Right now, Mr. Boggs."
"Just one problem, miss."
Boggs' voice did sound regretful.
"I don't have the packet here."
"Where is it? We'll retrieve it."
"Don't go with him, Philly."
"Or maybe she should." Jack would follow. He would ensure that nothing happened to her. He would force Boggs to follow through on the deal instead of discovering a way to crook her again.
"It's in a safe place."
"Then we'll go there now. You will get your money, I will have the packet, and we're done."
"I got a couple more meetings."
"After them, then." A pause while Jack reckoned the arsehole Boggs stared at the money she offered now and weighed up a guaranteed profit versus a chance of future. As Philly had pointed out, she could drive a bargain for him any day. How long before these other meetings are over?
Couple of hours.
I'll wait then.
Out in the pub, you, 2 solid hours.
To ensure we keep our deal current, Mr. Boggs.
More silence. Then the man said, tell you what, here it comes.
Hell and damnation, Jack thought. The arsehole was changing the deal on her again.
2 hours gives you time to get her down here. You fetch her. You get her to hand me the money, and I'll hand over everything. Or is she too good to dirty her hands with payment for her own problems? You get her down here. She gives me the money herself, and we'll make it around £300 as agreed. Save yourself £25. But I want to see her smiling as she hands me the money, and I hand her the photographs and the negatives and those letters. That's our deal. Good until midnight.
£300 until midnight.
And her pretty hands giving me the money. Her pretty eyes looking into mine. Her pretty mouth saying, nice doing business with you, Mr. Boggs.
You keep adding things.
We can leave you out of it if you want.
No, no, I'll come with her. And I'll thank you now, Mr. Boggs, for agreeing to my offer. Jack heard chair legs scrape on the wooden floor.
Sure, why not? I'll get me £400.
What do you mean? Billy sounded close to the door.
Boggs laughed. She won't come. Not her.
Yes, she will.
No, or she would have come now. She got you to come for her, never caring what you might face. He chuckled. I'd lay a bet on it.
Billy didn't answer, and Boggs laughed again. Jack backed into the darkness behind the door as it opened. It swung wide into the hall and shut with a thud. Billy paused a second, then headed for the pub. Jack caught her as she passed the door to the Coes. He slipped an arm around her waist, the other around her shoulder, his hand covering her mouth. She stiffened, then jerked. An elbow hit his stomach. Philly, he hissed in her ear, her bobbed hair whispering against his lips. It's Jack. He took his hand away, hoping she wouldn't scream. She remained rigid. Jack? Her voice was the barest breath. Jack Portman. Did she forget me? He'd thought their connection at Emberley was strong, but maybe she hadn't wanted to remember anything about that ill-fated Christmas party. They hadn't met since then. Work had consumed him for a solid year. Then too much time had passed to reintroduce himself to her. He kept hoping to meet her at her cousin's parties, but she must attend the ones he didn't. They always just missed each other. Jack, she repeated, but she became pliant. What are you doing?
In here, he said, and guided her by the shoulders to the Coes.
He pushed her inside, then shut the door with the faintest of clicks. So, that's the opening scene to The Lion's Den. The story is connected to the Into Death series, which features the artist Isabella Newcomb. Jack and Philly first appeared in the mystery Christmas with Death. If you enjoyed this opening excerpt and want to read the rest of it on your own, write to winkbooks@aol.com to receive a free copy of The Lion's Den and to subscribe to our newsletter. We won't bombard you with emails, I promise. Just quick monthly announcements of what's new and what's relevant in the Writer's Ink world. Or you can visit thewritefocus.blogspot.com where you can find show notes and more information about our podcast. For now, though, time to set your resolutions for 2021. May I promote ThinkPro, a planner for writers? It's a daily way to track word counts and a project's progression with monthly and yearly reviews and previews to keep you advancing. Until then, write on.